This is WHFR Dearborn, live from Henry Ford Community College. It's another edition of the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views. Welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. Thank you for listening to us today. This is local news and alternative views about Dearborn and the surrounding area. My name is Jay Kornick, and I'm joined as a co-host today in the studios, Dennis Reimars, who is our promotions coordinator, but also very significantly, and we want to wish him well in this additional task, which is the new editor of the Mirror newspaper here at Henry Ford Community College. So welcome to you, Dennis.
Wow, thank you. That was quite an introduction, and nothing like adding a little pressure.
Well, I wanted to give that background because today's special guest in the studio is our own Henry Ford Community College president, Dr. Gail Mee, and she is here to update us on what's going to be happening for the fall semester and maybe even for the next year here at Henry Ford. There's so many exciting things going on, and so I know you, as a Mirror editor, have a number of intense questions for her.
Very intense questions.
But I must start. Dr. Mee, welcome to our WHFR studios again, although I know you walk past it every day to maybe get lunch here and have other meetings in our Student Center building. But what about the parking lots? This was a big question last year when we redid half of our parking lots. Now, folks, you know, I think last spring we had 16,000, 18,000 students coming here. Mm-hmm. And the south lots, that is, you know, for 5,000 cars or whatever, they were completely under construction, and they were only a couple weeks behind finishing up, and we began this wonderful shuttle service with the Fairlane Town Center. So my question to you, Dr. Mee, the big question of the day, if not the week, is what's the status reports on the north lots, because they have been under construction for the last several months, and wow. There's still some details we know hanging there. What do you know today?
Are you familiar?
Six days before the classes have to start.
No pressure.
But before, yeah. Are you familiar with the term hyperbole? Yeah.
Before I begin, let me just say thank you, Jay and Dennis, for the opportunity to join you. I always love coming here, and it's such a, you actually are such a wonderful benefit to the college, and we appreciate everything you do.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the parking lots.
Yeah.
I am assured that they will be, in fact, completed for classes on Thursday. When I say completed, all of the landscaping will not be done, but the parking lots will, in fact, be finished. We may be striping at midnight on Wednesday night. That is putting the stripes for the parking spaces
there.
We're going
to have some spaces for compact cars, or they're going to be all the same?
I believe they're all the same, Jay.
Okay.
They're all the same.
Some people have a problem. Am I driving a compact car or not? I think I can make it in there, but no, they can't really make it.
You're right.
The
engineers, I think, tell us that they cause probably maybe more trouble than they're worth. So,
parking lots try to do that. You know, the indoor.
Yes.
But that's never fun when I...
When you say we painting on Wednesday, you don't mean we.
We, as in, no, I probably won't be doing it, but you never know.
It
depends upon how desperate we are.
Okay.
No, actually,
let us know if you need volunteers for that.
Because Jay and I may know some.
It's been a couple of years, as Jay said, in the making. Many years, actually. I joined the college 4 years ago, and one of the first questions I was asked was, "What are you going to do about the parking lots?"
Really?
Because the truth is, the parking lots just didn't need resurfacing; they really needed rebuilding from the bottom up.
And now they're so ecologically appropriate, right? We have drainage; we're not causing nasty erosion. And I was going to ask too, and I don't know if it's in the plans, what about the future possibilities, like for electric cars to be plugged in? Have we thought about that at all?
We certainly have. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have thought about that, and there is electricity going to many of those lampposts, of course.
Yeah, of course.
That can be used for, that we've specifically ensured they can be used for electric cars of the future. And you're right about being very green, if you will. That is something that we're terribly concerned about here at the college. The whole idea of sustainability is incredibly important to us. So everything we did with the parking lots, we ensured that the runoff into the Rouge would be properly treated. And we have a very large basin underneath a good portion of the parking lots.
Yeah, this isn't just a resurfacing. No, my goodness.
This is a
major redo here.
Yes, it is. And so we are ensuring that water is treated before it runs off into the Rouge.
Wow.
And you will also see that we have a pond in the back that is actually a retention pond. Which will add something very nice to the campus while at the same time serving an environmental purpose.
And that's the ideal situation, too, when you're being, as you put it, green at the same time. It's very aesthetically appealing.
That's right.
What about the SME?
Good question. So
this is the Society of Manufacturing Engineers building just to the north of the Henry Ford Community College main campus, which is a facility that we're now... We've bought it, and then we're leasing the space back, part of it back to the SME.
Yes. Hmm. Actually, that was the last property adjacent to the college that might have been available to us. And so we took the opportunity when the Society of Manufacturing Engineers wanted to downsize, we took the opportunity to purchase that complex from them. With the understanding that they would lease it back. So we're actually, in case you're wondering where did we get the money, we're actually paying the mortgage with the lease money that that they are...
But that's win-win, sure.
Yes, it really is. And so we are integrating that property into the entire campus facilities as best we can. There's parking in between, but there will be obviously lots of roadways and pathways to get back and forth from there to this part of the campus.
I know that certain areas of the college, I think more administrative areas, but they're going to be moving over there, or they're in the process, but really you have to wait till the lots are done before that's even accessible.
Yes, and we've been busy with lots of other facilities projects, as you probably know, and so next on our list will be, in fact, the opportunity that we have to move enrollment services over there, which means that someone coming in to register or to just simply get some advice or to be admitted to the college will be able to go to those buildings, to the first building up front. We're calling it tentatively a welcome center, and it will allow for one-stop registration services, which I think will be wonderful for students and for prospective
students. A lot of students that get to this campus, like any large campus, the question is, which is the building I'm supposed to go to?
Sure.
And if you're really new to the campus, this one is just a little bit apart, again, just a little bit to the north of the main complex, if you will, and so it should be a little bit easier to find for the newbies.
And might provide some parking for the newbies
as well.
That's right, yeah.
The school's always always been good during orientations and things like that, of putting the signs up.
Lots
I'm
of signs,
really
yes.
very good about directing, and then the hawk walk and things like that is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Let me get back to some cost things. First of all, our parking lots are still free for our students to use.
Yes,
unlike
that's
many schools, I mean, we considered over the years we could have built upwards, built indoor parking structures. We could have started charging an extra parking fee, which I remember decades ago at University of Michigan Ann Arbor, I had to pay even though I didn't park. I mean, just all the students had to contribute this extra money to the structure. And I know next door they have to do that just to pay for the cost. So we went with this other plan, which we had to save up the money for years, but it's still free parking for our students.
Yes, although, you know, with the increase in students, we would have liked to have done some sort of parking structure, but the cost was really prohibitive.
Yeah.
And our students, however, do pay what is called an infrastructure fee, which allows us to do some of these projects.
Is that broken out separately when they enroll now?
I believe it is. I think it's $20. Don't hold me to it,
okay.
But I think that's what you pay, yes.
So, but the shuttle, from what we understand, stand will continue until through winter term?
That's a good question.
Fairlane,
we will continue to run that shuttle back to back and forth to Fairlane. The students have actually learned to enjoy it.
I love it.
And so we're going to see, because our enrollment has grown so dramatically, we hope we have enough parking for everyone, but there's that actually is much more convenient for many students.
Awesome.
And so we will continue that.
It might even, because we had so many students in the past that ride buses to get to Fairlane Town Center. For some reason, more bus lines or routes wind up there rather than coming to the front of the college, which is not far away from there. But and then I always felt sorry for them, and some of them that are at U of M Dearborn, they have to cross these very busy roads around the town center. There's some lights, but there's not really any pedestrian walks, and if it's raining, it's just tragic. So I hope that can continue some sort of shuttle bus in the future, even if they charge 25 cents or something, just to get the people who most conveniently wind up there and don't have to change buses another three times to get onto Evergreen here.
I agree
with
you,
Jay. What a wonderful service that you've started.
We do have some buses that stop, as you say, right in front of the campus. But then I heard from students who were walking from the other side of the Fairlane Mall. And as you point out, there really aren't pedestrian pathways. So this is a nice way.
No, it's wonderful. You get off the bus, and it obviously has to be at Fairlane, though, because it's a hub of sorts. But then you go through the mall, and you end up at the food court.
Yes.
I mean, there's worse places to walk. That's all I'm saying.
That's what Fairlane tells us as well, that it's not bad for them either.
Okay. Another win-win.
How's tuition doing here? Are we holding the line? Does it? I mean, costs are constantly going up. Compared to other institutions, Henry Ford Community College has always been very reasonably priced and among the lowest, if not the lowest, for students. What's the situation there?
I believe that we are, if not the lowest, then the second lowest in the state in terms of tuition for in-district students. This year, we have not raised tuition, which is quite remarkable given the fact that colleges and universities all around have had to do that. You know, we get our funding three ways. We get our funding first from the state, and of course we know that that has not stayed current with costs. They have not cut community colleges at the state the way some other entities within the state have been cut, but we still are back at 1999 levels with state support. The second source of funding that we have is property tax from our rather small tax district, Dearborn and part of Dearborn Heights. That too, of course, has declined as our property taxes have declined, and so that too is a source of income that is not staying current. So that leaves us, quite frankly, with tuition and fees. And there is a tension that exists because we want to keep that tuition low to provide access to higher education for everyone who wants it, while at the same time providing the quality of education that people have come to expect from us. So the challenge is to maintain that tuition as low as possible. In this case, right this year, it is $70 a credit.
Incredible.
Remarkable. For in-district, and I think 130 if you are out of district.
Right, that's the number right here.
Yes, so it is extraordinarily low. But we have been able to maintain quality because we have been very careful in how we're spending our money. And we have an increase in students, which means we have an increase in tuition monies.
Right.
And we still have our tuition guarantee.
Yes, that is
correct.
So
in case we have to raise tuition, and they do get through a program, a two-year program, degree program, mm-hmm. in, what is it, 3.5 years at least we give them,
then
they'll get a rebate when they graduate.
That's correct. They can apply for a rebate, yes.
I don't know how many people remember to do that, but nonetheless, I think that's really cool for parents who might have to fund their children coming here, or even other people looking ahead a couple of years, that the tuition may go up, may have to, depending on funding in Lansing, but at least they can apply and get that money back once they graduate.
Well, and in line with the low tuition rates, I know that we have a new agreement with Lake Superior State University.
Yes.
And the reason why I bring it up in line with low tuition rates is because LSSU is one of the lower end as far as tuition in the state also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty nice. Could you tell us a little bit about the 3+1?
Absolutely. We have a number of these agreements, the latest of them being the articulation agreement with Lake Superior State. These are curriculum agreements. I want to be sure we understand that it has nothing to do with tuition. So in other words, when a student attends Henry Ford Community College, he or she pays Henry Ford Community College tuition. Once that student transfers to Lake Superior State or any other institution that we have these agreements with, they would pay that tuition. So I want to be sure that the taxpayers know they're not actually paying for Lake Superior State tuition.
No.
What the 3+1, though, is
yes,
a really exciting
this
idea.
Is,
we've,
yes.
We've always had sort of extra classes that go beyond what some four-year mm-hmm. institutions in Michigan would accept for direct credit. Sometimes
right.
they just get general credit or whatever. But that's because we have the facilities, we have the capable faculty, we know what we're doing, and many four-year institutions accept these. But then there's always a limit of like 60 hours or 2 years' work or so, and they just won't
that's
take
right.
anything over that, even if it is a good class or just like what they offer. But 3+1 means you could go up to whatever that might be, like 90 hours or something like that with us,
mm-hmm.
and take some of those advanced classes for credit towards a four-year degree. Now, you know, we've had 2+2 and transfer programs with four-year schools before, but finally we're getting a chance to keep people here, but also if they love our programs, they can just continue a little bit longer and still get credit towards that four-year degree.
Well, Dr. Mee, and you said that it's a 3+, is this the only 3+1 articulation agreement we have?
No, actually, we have a couple of others with, I believe, Eastern Michigan, one of them in criminal justice, one of them in information assurance, I believe.
Okay.
Don't hold me to that,
okay.
But I know there are a couple of those. But this one is actually, I think, quite remarkable. It is in a number of different fields, CIS and a number of others. That is computer information systems,
right.
which is a high-demand area. And Lake Superior State will take 96 credits,
mm-hmm.
which means that a student can take those 96 credits at Henry Ford Community College and at Henry Ford Community College tuition rates, and then transfer to Lake Superior to finish what is really one more year of a bachelor's degree. The nice thing about this, I think, is that we have agreed with Lake Superior State that the student will, in fact, get an associate's degree, which is really important, not always part of other articulation agreements.
Good point. Excellent point.
So I love that idea, quite frankly.
As well as the bachelor's.
As well as the bachelor's, which is not always the agreement that we reach.
Right.
It's sometimes course by course and not the entire degree, so I like that.
This is nice.
The other piece that's good, of course, is that Lake Superior State will be offering those classes here in Dearborn.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So it's real classroom-based classes for the fourth year right here in Dearborn.
Amazing,
mm-hmm.
yes. Okay.
So, yeah.
It's
a wonderful relationship, and I know that Lake Superior State, the president, was here to sign this agreement a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about the possibility of expanding into other areas of study.
Awesome.
I remember Lake Superior State College, and apparently they retired the program because the professor retired, but many years ago when I was here first at Henry Ford Community College in the English division as a professor, we admired them because they did a sort of a worst English teacher award, and they got terrible student phrases. I mean, unbelievable malapropisms and double meaning phrases from the essays. And we even had a mini version of that in the English division
here.
You gave
me story ideas for the newspaper.
But Lake Superior State University had this for about 20 years. They used to get national press over it. And I've always thought, where the heck are they? Where is Sault Ste. Marie? But they've always been an innovative, small, private, yes, liberal arts institution. And of course, as you said, their tuition is more expensive than a public institution. Mm-hmm. But this 3+1 means that the students, if it's the right program for them, they can stay with us another year and continue to save up money for mm-hmm. that last year, that bachelor's degree.
Uh-huh. And then not have to leave home, actually,
yeah, right,
to complete that bachelor's.
Which is an additional savings because there's uh-huh. not worried about room and board, leaving
absolutely
your job, whatever. Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so many of our students actually are what I call returning students. That is, students who have lots of other obligations, family and jobs, and they can't always leave town to finish that degree.
Absolutely.
I just mentioned, too, that Franklin University we've had a 3+1 with for several years, but I think their fourth year is online.
Yes, that's correct.
So
they
you have to online. Be
that's
big
correct.
On your computer to uh-huh. go through their online uh-huh. instruction, which I don't think it's as much fun as having a live instructor with that sort of feedback. I mean, you have
that.
A live instructor
yes.
in Ohio at Franklin University who is
right.
sending you email and so on, but we got options for everybody.
Yes.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And
We have
not saying that because anybody told me to, by the way, folks. The opinions remember on the show are expressed
yeah.
are not necessarily those of Henry Ford Community College, although in this case they are. Dr. Me is speaking for the college here, but Dennis and I can say what we want to. Thank you, President Me. But 40 years I was here, I've always been impressed with the innovation and the quality that every department tries to mm-hmm. to make their number one
mm-hmm.
priority.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to some other issues, some other programs happening here. First of all, I thought it was exciting in terms of facilities and campuses is that, and it was new to me as of yesterday, after 40 years of being here, that we have, again, actually, an East Campus. We used to have an East Campus, I think it was over on Lois Avenue, where the old superintendent's office for K-12 was located. We had a building in the back there that was only for technical instruction. And when we opened our big tech complex on campus, we needed it less and less. And finally, with the last renovation here, we didn't need it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to consolidate mm-hmm. that. But now we have an East Campus again, and the School of Nursing is there, as well as some other things. So tell us about the new School of Nursing, which is not new to the college, but they have a new location.
Yeah, we're very excited about this, actually. And I don't know that long-term it will be called East Campus. If there are any donors out there who would like to have it named after them, certainly we're open. But at any rate, this is, for those people who have been in Dearborn a long time, you hear about the Rotunda. And this, of course, is the Rotunda, the original Rotunda property. We have our Michigan Technical Education Center, commonly called MTEC, on half of that property. The other half of the property, sometimes called an island, it's surrounded by roads, not water. The other half of that property had been a Ford UAW Family Center, opened in 2001, beautiful facility. When they closed, they made it fairly attractive for us to take over that property. So we now have a new School of Nursing beginning next week. We did work very hard to get that completed for the beginning of the school year. So that will be over in what was the Ford UAW Center next to our MTEC. And so those two buildings will constitute our East Campus mm-hmm. or whatever we may want to call it.
Lots of free parking, of course, over there.
Yes, lots of parking for the nurses. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Nursing is a great program to relocate in a way because the nurses do almost all of their other coursework, all of their liberal arts, their English, their anatomy and physiology, all those courses that they need to take prior to actually entering into the nursing program. So it is what I call a self-contained program. So for the nurses to move off campus and to move to that new location, it made sense for them. They will have, as you say, plenty of space, easy access to highways to get to their clinical experiences, and quite frankly, a beautiful facility. So they're, the the nursing faculty are pretty excited about it, actually.
And there's enough nursing students that that's going to eliminate some of the, I hate to use the word congestion, but
yes.
You know what I mean, here in that
yes,
area.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And in fact, our liberal arts building, as you know, home to English, mathematics, business, social sciences, is really quite overcrowded. Mm-hmm. And so this will alleviate some of the overcrowding in the liberal arts building because mathematics will now be moving into what was the nursing facility.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
excellent.
That's going to help a lot.
I just wanted to ask a question. A few people mm-hmm. have asked me. We know that U of M went smoke-free on July 1.
Yes.
I don't know that a decision has been made here. Can you tell us? And what goes into that decision?
I did form, actually, I asked the faculty senate, the senate of the college, to look into whether or not it would be appropriate for us to go smoke-free. I guess I will withhold my own opinion for now, but
okay.
Waiting for the committee.
Okay.
But the committee is going to continue their work in the fall and hopefully have a recommendation for us very, very soon about that.
Okay. And I just, I guess I wonder, we want to see what U of M does.
But when they say smoke-free campus, that it's more, right now, there's not smoking allowed in any of our buildings.
No, there is not smoking allowed
that
in any
clear
of
to
the
people.
Buildings.
Yeah.
But there is smoking allowed on the grounds. You have to be, I forget how many yards,
50 feet
from the doorway. That's very hard to control because we'd have to spend a lot of time having people move, you know, from in front of the building. And I know there are people who feel strongly that they don't want to enter a building through a smoke-filled cart or through a cloud, exactly. So lots of discussion about that, but the committee will come up with its recommendation as soon, I hope, very soon.
Okay.
They wouldn't necessarily be policing people smoking in their cars at U of M, would they?
That's what they do at hospitals, and I was led to believe they're following a similar model next door, yes.
Oh, okay.
So well, not even on the grounds at all was what I was told.
That's what I understand. And in fact, that's, I think, not only at U of M Dearborn, but at all U of M campuses.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And you kind of wonder until when that will be, you know, restaurants are completely smoke-free. Mm-hmm. Is there possible legislation for schools? I mean, I know that we have it in our... It's within our own power right now, but it's really nice to be able to, and I'm sure your committee will take that into consideration, too.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, what I'd like to do now at about halfway through the hour, not quite, is to take a break and feature, first of all, a couple of commentaries by Jim Hightower that we feature every week about events. Let's see. Today, Jim is going to be commenting on a rising tsunami of corporate welfare. Oh, my goodness. And also hiding worker injuries, a lot of injuries to public employees, public and private employees, and the numbers are not tabulated really the way they should be, a bigger problem there than what you might imagine. And we'll be back with actually some Dearborn headlines and more with our very special guest today, Henry Ford Community President Dr. Gail Mee. So take a listen to Jim Hightower.
Here they come. The corporate front groups are moving fast. The ones that the Supreme Court unleashed on America's elections by decreeing that corporations are now free to spend unlimited sums of cash from their vast treasuries to elect or defeat anyone they want. You might recall that the 5-man judicial majority that pulled off this black-robed coup argued disingenuously that there was no evidence that corporate spending would even increase under the court's ruling, much less flood the process. Nice theory, but look out, here comes the flood. In addition to unfathomable sums that corporations will pour directly into this fall's congressional elections, they're also channeling unparalleled amounts of cash into assorted front groups. For example, in 2008, a presidential year, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce put $36 million into elections, which was the most ever by a corporate organization. This year, it intends to more than double that, funneling $75 million into campaigns, with practically every penny going to corporate-hugging Republicans. American Crossroads, a new corporate outlet run by former Bush operative Karl Rove, collected more than $8 million in June alone and expects to put $52 million into this year's elections. Various extremist laissez-faire anti-government groups will also add to the rising tsunami, including $45 million from Americans for Prosperity, $25 million from American Action Network, $24 million from the Club for Growth, and $5 million from Freedom Works. This is Jim Hightower saying, with such gross levels of spending, moneyed corporations intend to overpower America's democratic process and purchase a government that'll do their bidding. To stop them, we must overturn the Supreme Court's malicious, anti-democratic ruling. To help, contact a grassroots campaign pushing to overturn. Find them at freespeechforpeople.org.
Today's commentary is underwritten by Wiley & Sons, publisher of Hightower's new book titled Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow, now available wherever books are sold.
According to the latest safety reports, workplace injuries are on the decline in our country. Great! Only, it's untrue. Why? Because many burns, cuts, poisonings, and other on-the-job injuries are deliberately hidden from America's Occupational Safety and Health Agency. Last November, for example, the U.S. Government Accountability Office found widespread underreporting of the problem by company doctors and other health professionals. In a survey of 504 medical practitioners, more than half told investigators that they were pressured by bosses to downplay illnesses and injuries. More than a third said they were actually asked to provide insufficient treatment to workers so injuries would not have to be reported. And more than two-thirds knew of workers themselves who did not want their bosses to know of their injuries because the workers feared they'd be fired. Under OSHA rules, any injury that requires more medical treatment than first aid must be registered in a company's injury log. A high injury rate increases the company's worker compensation costs and can prevent it from qualifying for government contracts. So top executives pressure managers and company doctors to treat serious injuries with Band-Aids instead of stitches in order to keep them from being entered in the log. Also, get this. Corporate injury reports are based on the honor system. And from Wall Street to BP, we've seen how much honor there is in corporate world. While OSHA does conduct occasional audits of injury rates, workers themselves are rarely interviewed, leaving it up to corporate executives to tell the truth about the real danger level that exists in their workplaces. This is Jim Hightower saying, and of course, executives are not hot to do that. Every workplace can and should be made safe, but they won't be without honest reporting of conditions followed by real punishment of the violators.
Today's commentary is underwritten by Wiley & Sons, publisher of Hightower's new book titled Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow, now available wherever books are sold.
And we're back with more of the new WHFR Journal. Jay Koronek here along with Dennis Reimars, co-hosting the show today. And Dr. Gail Mee, president of Henry Ford Community College, is in the studio with us. And with all due respect to her, I told her I was going to do this. There's we don't usually do headline stories. We'd like to go beyond the headlines, but you know, the Dearborn Press and Guide and Times Herald are out there. They're on the newsstands. You do need to read both of them. And the Press and Guide has two publications each week. So I'm just very briefly going to hit some of the headlines of these stories. Shouldn't take more than about 2 minutes, so get your paper and pencil handy, as they say. In the Press and Guide from last Sunday, that's August 15th, Dearborn Heights is going to sell its incinerator land, the land that formerly had a garbage or trash incinerator on it, for $1.2 million. But this is interesting to me, and that's good. It's not going to be anything that's going to be harmful. In fact, the people that have bought it, something like 32 acres or more, they're going to make a TV studio there.
Well, of course they are.
Really?
Well, that's got to be like a production facility, indoor.
Right.
But it's interesting they didn't say a film studio, although it could be used for both, depending on the height of the ceiling and the size of it. But they're going to make a TV studio there. When we interviewed Mayor Paletko here on Netopigian's show,
sure,
which is going to come up the fifth Tuesday of this month,
right,
only once every 3 months, and Ned gets to have his show. Mayor Paletko said, oh, it's not finalized yet, but we're going to have a TV studio out here. And I guess that's it. But they're going to be, and this is so great, we're talking about energy efficiency and energy tech programs here at Henry Ford Community College. Half of that area is going to be a solar cell farm, which means we're going to have solar-powered receptacles there, and maybe they're like hoping to send the money back into the grid to pay their own cost or something. What a great innovative idea. Maybe they'll sell it to Dearborn Heights, to the city. I don't know what they're going to do with the power coming from that. I mean, a solar-powered TV studio? I don't know. We'd love to have a solar-powered WHFR here, I know, someday. And we actually have a proposal. It's mm-hmm. in the hopper, as they say. But maybe someday the whole college will be solar-powered or wind-powered. They always say that these college teachers have a lot of hot air.
No comment. I'm still a student
only
here.
Harness it. Also in last Sunday's Press and Guide, Dearborn Recreation Department master plan, a presentation. And the part of the Recreation Department plan talks about the pools, the individual neighborhood pools here, a big controversial issue, as well as many other things. And they're going to have a meeting on September 14th. I don't know what day of the week that is, but at 7:30 p.m. at the center, the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center, September 14th. And you can go to Dearborn Rec Plan, that is REC plan, DearbornRecPlan.com. So I went there this morning thinking, I'll brief myself on what their proposals might be. Well, you have to download the PDF file to see them, and the PDF file is something like over 10 megabytes, which is pretty big for a text file. It turns out to be 160 pages long. This is a heck of a document.
So how did it end?
I don't. It's a bunch of appendices. I couldn't find. I was skimming through 160 pages, going up and down on the screen, and I never found the summary page.
I was ready for him to say spoiler alert, spoiler. No,
so, folks, you should review that. They do say that the Recreation Department and City Hall does have copies of that, although at 160 pages, I don't know if they're going to give you one, but you could take notes there. But this does affect all the parks, all the pools, as well as Camp Dearborn, all the concerts they do. Probably the center itself has many recreation controlled activities, or most of the center is Recreation Department. So they have a lot of proposals. And you know what they're primarily proposing, folks? Ways to save money, in this economy and income being what it is. So anybody who's an activist or concerned about the city of Dearborn, you should try to review that. DearbornRecPlan.com. Wait for the download and take your time scrolling through the pages to see what the heck they're proposing, and then make your comments known, either in person on September 14th or maybe to the mayor or your local city council person, whoever that is. Okay. Access and HFC, so you're going to do a college prep class. That's what we'll start with Dr. Mee as soon as I finish this up here. Dearborn Times Herald from this last Wednesday, August 18th, I mentioned Ned Apigian, and he won that sort of runoff election, he and the second place person, for being a potential new council person in Dearborn Heights, filling a term that still has a year to go. And the final election between himself and the number two person will be in November. The problem is the number three person has now asked for a recount, because there's only like 40 votes between third and second, and only another 80 or so between second and first, Ned's position.
All right.
So we'll see what happens, although Ned is still in the lead. And in Dearborn Heights, their clerk said, look, it's all electronic, and we give receipts. And, a recount is not like the olden days when they had the paper ballots.
Right.
It could be misread. Still, a whole machine could maybe malfunction or something.
Right.
So they're going to look into it, and we'll find out if Ned is still in the lead here. Of course, we don't take sides. We're not saying Ned's the best candidate, but he has been running out there for years, so I think people are at least recognizing his name. And he does host, as I said, Dearborn Heights News and Views on the fifth Tuesday every month, Tuesdays at 1 p.m. This month, he's going to have the city clerk and the city treasurer of Dearborn Heights in the studio.
Really?
Yeah. So we'll find out really what's happening there, boy. Dearborn Health Department reopens, folks, I think it just a day or so ago. And so for all of you who need health exams for your kids going back to school, they're ready to do that right here in Dearborn. Don't have to go to your family doctor unless you want to. I think the cost would be a lot less. That's located in the Dearborn Centennial Library right here on Michigan Avenue. And so they have been closed, I guess, for the summer, but it's good to know they reopen and ready for business. All of those basic health checkups and inoculations maybe and so on for young people. Also, a favorite of mine is the AAUW, the American Association of Women, actually professional women, usually college teacher women.
The U is for university. Yeah. Is that right? Okay.
That's university correct. Women, yeah. It just said AA. Maybe I dropped the U when I was making my notes here, writing quickly. But they have an annual book sale in Dearborn here, and they have for just decades. And it's huge, hardbound, softbound, even some textbooks. This year it's going to be September 16th to 18th, so put this on your calendar, folks. Dearborn Ice Skating Center. It used to be called the ADRE. ice skating rink. It's up there on Ford Road. Now it's DISC, D-I-S-C, Dearborn Ice Skating Center. So it ought to be a cool place for a book sale.
But I'm bummed. Yeah. Opinions expressed. No, I'm sorry.
But where are your booties, I guess, if you've got to walk on the ice? I don't know. They cover it over, no doubt. And again, raises my question a few weeks ago. Why don't we have more of these community things like conventions and book sales at the center? What's wrong with it? Are they so heavily scheduled they don't have any room? We built this whole huge complex, and it seems like we're not getting like the glass people and the Depression glass, for example, and China people and jewelry conventions, or even Star Trek conventions. Of course, Star Trek maybe old news these days. And even the annual book sale of the AUW used to be at Dearborn Civic Center. And now that they have the whole big, I mean, where are these things? They're not happening in Dearborn, although luckily the book sale, which is the Dearborn chapter of the AAUW, American Association of University Women, that's going to be September 16th, 18th. Get there early, folks, because they really have a lot of people that start going through there. And at the end, I think you can even buy a bag for like $5 right, and just as much as you can throw in the bag. It's sort of like WHFR at homecoming when we got...
You know, can I say, when I read the information on the AAUW, I looked at it and it said that the only charge for admission was the first couple hours on the first day.
Right.
And then after that, it's free. So I guess that is to motivate people because obviously there's more to look at. I
mean,
more choices.
Okay. We should do that at homecoming. No, we can't. Our used CD sale was fantastic this year. One person, we had plastic bags for $10, as many CDs you could put in there, or $1 a CD for a used CD. And one person, he was the record holder this year, 14 bags of CDs, and he got 15 to 20 CDs in each bag. So I think he's going to set up a used record store somewhere.
Yeah, he's going to have a booth next to us next year.
Yeah. So obviously, first come, first served, and they have a tremendous selection. If you love books, in fact, my granddaughter, who's only 2 and a half, they came back from a flea market downriver somewhere, Brownstown Township, this morning. My daughter loves to take my granddaughter to places like that, whether it's antiques. But what they came back with, a whole bunch of books. Mm. Grandpa Jay,
how nice.
Read my books to me. Okay, I can read. Maybe later after I do my radio show. So you can get just amazing things. And, of course, nothing better than a book. You can read it. You can reread it. You don't need batteries.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, let's go back to Dr. Mee, who has very patiently been waiting here to hear the updates. I think I did a few stories you hadn't heard before, maybe.
You absolutely
okay,
did.
I got the
You're
papers
right.
real fast. I read them quick.
You're right.
Let's talk about the one about Access. Access is a facility. I guess they're in a new place sort of called a youth center, but they're actually going to be doing a Get Ready for College course starting this fall.
Actually, yes. Access has a new, I think it's newly renovated, perhaps it's a combination of new and renovation, center in Dearborn. And they have a grant, and they asked us to come in and teach a college success course. This course is a course that we normally give here on campus, and we continue to give here on campus. But as long as the enrollment is there, our faculty member will go there and teach this course. It has a number of positive benefits for students. Many students are reluctant and perhaps even intimidated to come to campus at first. And so this is a nice way for them to be introduced to college, nice way for them to understand what the expectations might be of a student at college, and then they would obviously join us here on campus. So we will be teaching, we have a faculty member who will be teaching this course. It's the same course as is taught here on the campus, on the main campus, and as long as we have the enrollment, we can do it there.
That starts on September 21st, by the way. First session, it meets on Tuesday, Thursdays, 3 to 4:30 p.m. And you can contact a Justine Flores, F-L-O-R-E-S, Justine Flores at Access, which formerly used to stand 30 years ago when they were formed in Dearborn, as the Arab Community Center for Educational and Social Services. Today they do medical services, and they're really expanding. And it's, you don't have to be an Arab or Arab descent or Arab American citizen to make use of their services. They will help anyone in the community. Just wondering, though, do you know if that instructor will be bilingual? because a lot of people from the Arab Community Center, they have some language issues, and mm-hmm. that would be helpful.
Yes, I know.
They would probably have access people helping them, too, in that facility. So
there can certainly be that. Yeah. But I would also say that this is very close to Southwest Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just on the border of Southwest Detroit. So it's possible that there would also be a number of Hispanic-speaking
yes.
students who might be in that class. And we're actually
Another
hoping
challenge.
For that
yeah.
for that kind of mix.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it certainly is open to those students as
it
well.
It says high school seniors and adults 21 to 24 living in South Dearborn and Southwest Detroit. What about mm-hmm. East Dearborn? But anyway.
Well, there's probably a specific reason for targeting that.
I believe because the grant probably provides the educational opportunity mm. for those particular populations.
One of those things. Because I said, I'm not real sharp here, but and often stories leave out some information, but there's a gap in age between a senior in high school, like 18 typically, maybe 19, and the 21-year-old adult. We got
right.
a couple of years in there. They're just in a black hole or
well,
something?
No, I think it's very difficult. The further away you get from the last year of high school, and I can attest to this from my personal experience, the further away you get, the more difficult it is to come back. And I think that even that 3 years, if you take that break after 18, and this is just, I mean, this is
yes,
Dennis's educated guess.
No, that's right, Dennis.
At 21, that would mm-hmm. take a reacclimation, mm-hmm. if you will, to the habits, the good habits you need for study.
If they don't have some criteria, maybe they'd be flooded with people that want to enroll. Now, this will cost the regular tuition amount that it would
yes,
here at the
yes,
college, though.
Course.
So,
of course.
Although in district, maybe $100 a credit hour.
Actually, in district, it's our tuition is $70.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
$70.
And then $130, I believe, out.
Yes, it's yeah. Really incredibly reasonable.
But this is 3 hours credit, so it'd be three times 70 or about $210 plus fees. Well, I think it's a great thing, and I also just you have to have a GPA, folks, of if you were in high school 1.8, which is below passing, and I guess they would also be especially concerned about doing well the first time they get into college, to 3.2. So if you're better than 3.2, and I guess the top would be 4.0, forget about it. You're already ready. Or just jump in, you know. Don't take a seat up for somebody else here.
So this 3-credit-hour class isn't yes. necessarily, it's not academic per se in a certain area. It's more of an acclimation class too.
That's exactly right. It'll it's more of a class that prepares people to be successful in college. So it will cover study skills. It will cover those expectations that that college faculty have of students, mm-hmm. And a number of other things that really will prepare, maybe some career exploration that prepare students for college level
I
work.
Think that's fantastic, because even at our age, when mm-hmm. like we're non-traditional students and
yes.
came back later, there was that at first, the jitters. I don't know what else to call it. You're
yes.
nervous. You
yes,
know?
Absolutely. And you know, if we talk a little bit about the increase in enrollment that we've experienced over the last couple of years, it's been very dramatic, not just at Henry Ford, but at all community colleges, especially here, however. I think we're seeing a number of students who are returning,
mm-hmm.
who perhaps had jobs, perhaps were laid off, and they're coming back to us looking for knowledge and skills for that next generation of jobs.
Absolutely.
It is somewhat intimidating and somewhat unexpected for many of those students. They did not expect to find themselves back at college.
No. What a great opportunity to reinvent
later.
Yourself, though.
It really, it's wonderful. And, you know, what we realize is that all of the statistics will tell you that the more education you have, the less likely it is that you will be unemployed.
Right.
And so we are, I hope, performing an extraordinary service for the citizens of our community.
Now, we've always had so-called remedial education for people that might come out of high school, traditional college entry. Used to be decades ago, just people out of high school. And if they didn't quite learn their math or their reading skills were not up to college level, they would be assigned by testing or by their own choice into courses that were below so-called college level, college entry level, but would help to bring them up to that level. And we have so many of those classes in so many areas. And most of them, if I'm not mistaken, they will transfer towards the HF. I mean, they will count towards the HFCC degree. Not all of them. Not any of them.
No, no. Those are the developmental ones, if
yes.
I'm not mistaken. Right. And anything
they carry
on,
credit, right. But they don't actually
would it be
count.
Below the 100?
Yes, that's
okay.
Correct.
The below magic number is 100 or 110?
Yes.
131 is like the beginning level
beginning
for
English.
A lot of English.
Right. But there's a math yes. 100, a math 115.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah I think the art department yes. starts around 100.
But yes. But if it's below 100, that is basically, God, I don't know. It's
developmental.
To be able to learn the necessary skills to actually
yes.
get, okay, that makes
you
sense.
You know, if you think about community colleges have basically a five-part mission. One is to prepare students for transfer. Two is to prepare students to go directly to work. Now, we know that those two actually intersect because most of our students are ultimately going to work, and most of them will continue their education. But nevertheless, we think of those separately as part of our mission. And then a third part of our mission is actually that developmental piece, which is to prepare students for college-level work. So, in other words, that remediation or that preparatory work in English. In reading and writing and mathematics so that they can be successful in those other two pathways. And then finally, of course, we do community education, which means non-credit, which means, for example, if I think I may be going to travel to Mexico or something, I might want to study Spanish but not actually take a credit course.
Right.
And I could do that in community ed. And then finally, there's the customized business and industry training. What has happened in the last several years is that that developmental work has become bigger than ever, not just at Henry Ford, but across the country for community colleges. We find ourselves doing more and more preparatory work. In many cases, for people who have been away from school for a while and who need to get back up to speed.
This the last one, the customized business and industry mm-hmm. training. In some cases, may that lead to a certificate?
Yes.
And I am alluding to the new program we have.
Yes, we have. We have a couple of different approaches to that.
Mm-hmm.
Some might be that a business or industry would come to our MTEC, our Technical Education Center, and look for some skills training that would not carry credit. But otherwise, we also have some that will carry credit. And so those lines are blurring as well.
Which is fine because it means that we are adapting.
And they need to blur, to be honest with you, because sometimes students come in and they don't know if they want credit or non-credit. They begin with some non-credit and they catch on.
Absolutely.
And then they want to pursue a career
circumstances
pathway
change.
Here.
And I guess this particular one, and it's the 21st century, the technical... can we talk about it? Because it's fascinating. And I think I talked to you off air about my background being with a long distance phone company 100 years ago, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of along those lines. But let's face it, this world has evolved to not just be telephones, but also internet and internet,
yes.
Cable TV too.
Yes. This was an exciting program because of the way we put it together. We were approached by AT&T and asked to put together a program that would provide students with the knowledge and skills necessary to be a telecommunications technician mm-hmm. In the future. So they brought along five or six of their partners, actually other telecommunications partners of theirs, and we asked them to provide us with what that knowledge would be. What would the skills be that would be necessary for these students to gain employment and be successful in that arena? So they gave us all their job descriptions and their hopes for the future, and we attempted to put together a program with some courses that we already have, some courses that we had to adapt, and then some new courses. And then the nice thing about this program is that they all came to the table for 3 days.
That was huge,
in
was
the
it
spring.
Not?
It was huge. They all came to the table for 3 days in the spring. And we went over the curriculum, and they said, well, yes, this is what we want. No, this we'd like to do it another way. And we were able then, we had some marvelous faculty members who took everything they heard and turned it into a program that is starting this week.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
And
it's
from,
a wonderful model.
And
I
my
think.
Understanding was those 3 days were so key to bring it all together, the face-to-face.
They really were, because we could sit back and say, well, this is what we think they want.
Right.
But how much better for them to actually tell us.
I heard it referred to as a summit, which I thought was interesting.
It was a summit. Yeah. That's what we called it. And at the end, AT&T gave us a check for enough money to cover the development, which was really quite
phenomenal.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Again, everybody wins. Yeah.
Okay, time for a facetious comment towards Dr. Mee.
Oh, here it is.
Because of this new program at HFCC, obviously the graduates are going to guarantee that iPhone reception on their network is going to be a lot better, right?
Well, I'm going to guarantee that.
Isn't that one of the sub-objectives there?
I'm going to guarantee that when I call AT&T because my U-verse isn't working, that the person's going to know exactly what's wrong.
Oh, that's funny. Well, and if I'm, again, from what I understand about this program, this isn't something that AT&T did, everybody's going to come work with us afterward. No. This is for the entire industry.
No, but it is for the entire industry, and there is no guarantee of employment, and we have to be sure that we understand that. On the other hand, they have, in recent weeks, been advertising for people with exactly these qualifications, and they have said they would clearly look at these students when they receive that certificate.
That's awesome.
As we know, in the state of Michigan, AT&T has the only statewide franchise for being in every community providing internet connections. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's very essential, wonderful. Unfortunately, the prices haven't come down like they said they would to be more competitive with local franchises like in Dearborn. It's Comcast and WOW, and AT&T is not the lowest price in this area here. So we hope they're going to get their technology act together with our own HFCC graduates and make those improvements for the good of all. Just a little nomenclature thing as a telecom professor Redux here. The naming is always been a problem between the industries of the telephone companies as they started out and the academics. And academically, our programs in telecom back in the 50s, like Wayne State, used to be called Radio TV Film. And then it got into broadcasting, but there's a lot more than broadcasting going on. Then it got into mass communication. Mm-hmm. But the internet is more interactive. Mass communication implied, again, according to the professor's definitions, one-way sort of communications. Like radio, we can get a phone call, but not many per hour, okay? Not from all our listeners at once. And so what are you going to call all these new electronic media, including the more interactive ones like the internet? Well, we decided telecom. Actually, Michigan State University started that, and Eastern Michigan University started it. So then we changed from MassCom to telecom about 20-some years ago. But then I kept getting calls as the department chairperson at that time, do you teach phone line installations? Well, apparently Schoolcraft Community College had a program
now
with
AT&T.
Now
you can call them back.
But this is more than just telephones. I'm saying that this program, which is called Technical Communications, Technical Communications, it talks about telephony, that is telephone lines,
absolutely,
but also installing the same lines which would provide internet connections. And more specifically with what AT&T does, of course, but with that background, you're more likely probably to find a job with AT&T because it's just what they want. Mm-hmm. And they're still going to need more people to update the system and extend service to more people.
They split it up into three wonderful concentrations, too.
Yes, that really makes a difference. You can have a business concentration or you can have an infrastructure concentration. This is also a one-year certificate, and at the end of that, the student does get, as I say, a piece of paper, a certificate that says they're qualified, but it's also embedded in a degree program. So should the student wish to continue, this is half of an associate's degree program.
Awesome.
We're looking forward to a real exciting year here. Dr. Gail Mee has been our special guest today on the new WHFR Journal and the president of Henry Ford Community College, and a difficult job. Just a final comment. We only have a couple minutes before Highway 61, our blues show, gets started. And Joanne shouldn't have too much parking difficulty today. I think she's using the loading dock area. Don't tell anybody. South of the building.
Yeah, don't tell the president.
No.
she doesn't listen to our show. It doesn't matter.
She does have handicapped sticker, but parking folks
now
here.
You're backpedaling.
Security has been informed. They know Joanne, and on Fridays, especially when we were closed, there was no problem. But as soon as that visitor
Friday
lock gets
will
done,
be a different story,
oh boy, we'll be ready. Mm-hmm. But you have a difficult job too. People think you're always on campus, talking to all the faculty heads, planning all these new programs, and working with, of course, all of our deans on in their areas. to keep them on their toes. But you also have to deal with politicians in Lansing. You're like an external president as well as an internal one here. That's a difficult job, especially with some of the jobs, some of the people changing this November. November election will bring us a replacement for Gino Polidori, and the new state Senate rep will be someone else too. Just very briefly, how much do you have to go to Lansing and relate to Lansing?
I do go to Lansing quite a bit, and we have been just absolutely so incredibly fortunate here in Dearborn with the representation we've had. Gino Polidori has been extraordinarily supportive of the college. Irma Clark Coleman, our state senator, has been just as supportive, and we will miss them terribly in Lansing, but I'm sure that the new people coming in will share their enthusiasm for the college and recognize the value that we bring to the community. We are a community college, and as such, we take that word community seriously, which means that we need to be serving our community and we need to be working closely with our community to be sure that we are fulfilling the promise that we bring to the citizens.
Awesome. What are you looking for in terms of candidates that would will help the universities and the colleges here? Just more money? Is there a different way to get money for the colleges? I understand that the money is not based on students per se. It's a complex formula or sort of whatever you say you need or something.
Yeah, well, it hasn't been for the last couple of years. There hasn't been
anything,
any additional money coming. Yeah. No, so the formula, you know, was based a few years ago on numbers. We have increased by 40% in 4 years the number of students that we have here at the college.
Wow.
But we have not obviously had an increase from the state. I will say this, that the state has recognized the value that community colleges bring, and the fact that we play a role in any sort of economic rejuvenation of the area, and so they have not cut us the way some other areas of the state have been cut. But we still struggle, of course, with funding. We do believe that we have a significant role in helping to turn the state around.
I guess my question is more philosophical, too, and I know there might be a constitutional convention, if approved by the voters in November, to review many things in the Michigan State Constitution about taxing and so on, and you've come from a position to us several years ago from Arizona. Do we need a funding criteria in place? Would that help, or what? You know, do you know something that should be put in place rather than just, well, you know, the person with the loudest voice or the squeakiest wheel gets the oil?
Well, you know, the truth is that Michigan did have and has a formula. It was moving in the right direction. I think half of it was based on what you used to get, but then the other half was based on some specific criteria, number of students, but more significantly, and this I think is terribly important, based on outcomes, how many students might be graduating, what is the benefit that you bring to your community. And so that still has to be, we still have to continue to work on that. There hasn't been additional monies, however, to follow that formula. So I think, though, it's on the right track.
Well, thanks for being with us today. I'm looking forward to a very exciting year, and WHFR is going to try to tell whatever we can about what's happening here and let people know what's going on. So many exciting things. And, you know, folks, we wouldn't talk about or even run the PSAs that we do for the college if we didn't believe it in ourselves. But thanks to Dr. Mee and all the other management here, we have never specifically been told or forced to run or play anything.